Welcome to Tune My Heart. Yes, that's T-O-O-N as in cartoon. Because in this podcast, we'll be taking a closer look at popular animated movies through a Christian lens in search of faith-relevant themes and traces of eternal truth. I'm your host, Tracy Harold. And just a disclaimer, I'm not a Bible scholar, nor am I a film scholar. I'm just an animation fan who loves Jesus and who wants to explore how the themes and ideas presented in some of my favorite films might resonate with the Christian faith and help remind us of what we believe in sometimes surprising ways. So I hope you'll join me as we get animated about our faith. God rarely shows up in the ways you think he will. That's a line from the new movie Light of the World, and perhaps its central theme. James and John, inspired by their mother Salome's stories, expect God to come as a conquering hero who will defeat their enemies. Their father Zebedee doesn't expect the Messiah to come at all, believing they must rely only on themselves. The other apostles dream about seeing Jesus crowned King of Israel. None of them have their expectations met, but all of them receive in Jesus what they really need: a teacher who shows them how to love their enemies, a savior who will never forsake them, and a king whose kingdom is not of this world. I had been excited to see this movie ever since I heard about it a couple of years ago, and I'm happy to say that for the most part, it did not disappoint. But before we get into my thoughts, let's hear from Darcy, age 10. Hi, Darcy.
Hi.
So we went to the theater and saw Light of the World, a new movie about Jesus, a couple weeks ago. Do you remember that?
A little.
A little. Did you like it?
Yeah.
So that's the second movie about Jesus that we've seen this year. Do you remember the other one, King of Kings?
Yeah, I didn't like it as much as this one.
Okay. What did you like about this one?
The story, I guess.
What was your favorite part?
A guy walking on water.
What guy? Was it Jesus?
Yeah.
Okay. You're silly. Yeah, that was a really cool part, huh? I liked the scene where Jesus got baptized, too. Who was your favorite character?
The guy, whoever he was again.
The guy... Can you tell us something about him so we know who the guy is?
He's blind and he runs into walls.
Okay, the little blind Pharisee?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, he was funny. He was one of my favorite characters, too. Do you remember at the end when we found out what his name was?
What was his name?
Well, if you don't remember, I'm not going to give it away because I think it's a good surprise for the audience and we don't want to spoil it for them. So do you think that this is a good movie for families to go see?
Yeah.
Thank you, Darcy.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Toodaloo.
Toodaloo. The story behind Light of the World is pretty inspiring in its own right. It's the passion project of executive producer Matt McPherson, founder of a nonprofit ministry called the Salvation Poem Project, who funded the movie all on his own. It was made on a budget of just $20 million, and any profits will go toward future ministry projects. McPherson's son Brennan, also the president of the Salvation Poem Project, served as a producer. The directors of the film were John Schaefer, who formerly produced the Superbook animated series, and former Disney animator Tom Bancroft. They were joined by Tom's twin brother, Tony Bancroft, also a former Disney animator and co-director of Mulan, who served as head of story and animation director. I've followed the Bancroft brothers for a long time. They've got a great animation podcast of their own and are very outspoken about their Christian faith. And they're how I first heard about Light of the World being developed. So there was a lot of talent behind this film, and it shows, both in the beautiful storybook-style traditional animation and in the storytelling, which is full of both humor and heart, while clearly conveying the gospel message. It even includes an invitation for audience members to scan a QR code to learn more about how to be saved at the end of the film. Light of the World is, of course, the second animated movie about the life of Jesus to come out this year, the first being The King of Kings, which was released around Easter. Despite telling essentially the same story, though, these two films feel very different in many ways, from their animation styles to how they frame the story, to how they depict the personality of Jesus. It's still well worth seeing Light of the World if you've already seen The King of Kings. And if you haven't seen either and were to choose just one, I would personally lean toward Light of the World, and that's only partly because I'm biased toward traditional animation. Speaking of the animation, I've seen many compare it to The Prince of Egypt or Disney's Renaissance films, but it's really a simpler art style than those movies. Director John Schaefer has described it as a children's storybook come to life. From the time I started seeing snippets of artwork from the movie, I felt it was much more comparable to Cartoon Saloon's films like The Secret of Kells and Song of the Sea. And it turns out that that's not a coincidence, as Cartoon Saloon's sister studio, Lighthouse Studio, helped produce the film. And Schaefer has also cited Cartoon Saloon's films as inspiration. But it's really got its own distinct style, and it's quite beautifully done, with fun character designs and gorgeous colors. It was just so nice to see traditional animation like this on the big screen. But I think I also prefer Light of the World's portrayal of Jesus, who, while still clearly being portrayed as the Son of God, feels more human and relatable. Of course, we don't know a lot about what Jesus' personality was like beyond what we can glean and extrapolate from the Gospels, but I do believe, as I discussed in my episode on Inside Out, that he experienced all of the same human emotions that we do. So I like that in this movie we see Jesus smile and laugh, and that we also see him weep and struggle and suffer. At one point in Light of the World, the Apostle John and Jesus are talking about John the Baptist, and John says something along the lines of how easy it is to forget that John the Baptist is a real person because he's such a larger-than-life character. In the same way, I think it's easy for us to lose sight of the fact that Bible characters like Christ's disciples were not, in fact, characters, but real, ordinary people called out into extraordinary circumstances. Light of the World does an admirable job of reminding us of that, and of giving us an idea of what it might have been like for these people to find themselves following after the Messiah that they had heard about and waited for all their lives. And as a movie aimed at kids and families, one of the ways it does that is by giving us a point of view character that children can easily relate to in the Apostle John, depicted here as a young teenager. It's a novel approach, but not completely outside the realm of possibility, as John is traditionally held to be the youngest of Jesus' apostles. What surprised and somewhat disappointed me, though, was that despite John being the main character, many of the most memorable stories about him from the Bible were not included, like the sons of thunder, Jesus telling him from the cross to take Mary in as his mother, outrunning Peter to the empty tomb. I missed those moments. Of course, the animators were dealing with the challenge of fitting the 3 years of Jesus' earthly ministry into a 90-minute family film. It's out of necessity, but unfortunately the story sometimes feels rather condensed and rushed. The most important moments are hit, and some are very impactful, but there's also a lot missing or only glancingly shown. I would love to see them do a television series based on this movie, filling in the gaps and allowing them to slow down and take the time to show and tell more stories from those 3 years of ministry. But the story that we did get through this movie is still full of genuinely beautiful, touching, and sometimes even surprising moments. It's a movie full of enough of both heartfelt moments and lighthearted laughs to keep audiences engaged and entertained, and can serve as a great introduction to the gospel that hopefully inspires both kids and adults to want to read the Bible and find out more. I addressed the subject of whether it's acceptable to make and watch films depicting Jesus Christ in the King of Kings episode. But since then, Gavin Ortlund put out a video on YouTube on the topic that I think is a helpful addition to that conversation. And I will, of course, link to it in the show notes in case you'd like to check it out for yourself. In it, Ortlund argues that it's not inherently wrong to make artistic representations of Christ, and that rather than being a blanket ban on all images of a religious nature, the second commandment is more about what we do with those images. As evidence, he points out that God himself commanded artistic depictions of various earthly and heavenly things in his designs for the Ark of the Covenant, the tabernacle and temple furnishings, and more. He also says that, quote, "By assuming a human nature, the Son of God has made himself able to be known in a visual way." Creating art for the purpose of venerating or worshiping it, of course, is not okay. But, he argues, artistic depictions that are decorative, commemorative, or intended for teaching purposes may be acceptable. However, Ortlund says while it is acceptable, it is also very easy to do badly, and both creators and viewers need to have discernment and be aware of the danger of reshaping Jesus to fit our culture. He says there are three primary dangers to be aware of and try to avoid. 1. Making Jesus too nice or sentimentalizing him. 2. Making Jesus too white. And 3. Neglecting or backgrounding the cross. Holding Light of the World up to these guidelines, I don't think there's anything to worry about as far as dangers 2 and 3 go. Jesus is depicted with brown skin and dark hair, and while keeping it fairly family-friendly and avoiding any overt gore, his suffering and death on the cross, and his subsequent resurrection, is clearly depicted and shown to be the culmination of his work on earth. The one danger that Light of the World may fall into, then, is 1, making Jesus too nice, or to quote Ortlund, losing his fierceness and majesty. As I said, we see Jesus smile, laugh, cry, and plead with God in this movie, all of which is wonderful. The one thing we don't see from him is righteous anger. For instance, his cleansing of the temple is missing. But as I previously said, to fit everything into a 90-minute film, the filmmakers had to leave a lot of things out and choose what was most important to depict. And I think in a film intended for young kids and their parents, and intended as somewhat of an evangelistic tool, leaning more into Christ's gentleness makes sense. And they do also present moments that make it clear that he is the Son of God, full of majesty and power, not just a nice guy who says nice things. Beyond that, parents might want to know going in that some creative liberties are taken in filling in the gaps, adding details to, and occasionally making slight changes to the stories from the Bible. Nothing major that I think should scare anyone away from watching the movie, but you can always use it as an opportunity to read the real stories directly from the Bible with your kids and compare and contrast with how they are presented in the movie. At the end of the day, Light of the World is a beautifully animated little film that offers a great, if condensed, picture of the ministry of Jesus and his apostles for kids and adults alike to enjoy. Unfortunately, it's taken me longer than I hoped to get this episode out, so you probably don't have the opportunity to see it in theaters anymore if you didn't already, but the good news is that it is available on streaming platforms now. Or you can also buy an actual physical copy on DVD or Blu-ray, which is always a great idea if you enjoy a movie to get a physical copy still. I've seen those for sale now on Amazon, Walmart, and ChristianBook.com, so you have lots of options. and I would definitely recommend that you give this movie your support and check it out. So that does it for this very belated episode of Tune My Heart First Impressions. Hope that you enjoyed this episode, and also to make up for my absence these last few months, I am planning something that is for me a little bit crazy, which is to put out not one, not two, but three episodes for Christmas in the month of December. So I would appreciate your prayers for me that I can actually accomplish that goal, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. It's a series of episodes that I think will be a lot of fun. As always, you can reach out to me anytime via social media. I am on X, on Facebook, and on Instagram at Tune My Heart. And you can also email me at tunemyheartpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, keep shining the light of Christ for the world to see.